Have you ever listened to someone talk and think they have been talking and haven't really said anything? The phone company has another pretty good set of commercials centered around the college basketball tournament that plays to that. The color commentator got to talking about the rich shades and it's like, no, you don't understand, buddy. You don't understand. Or have you listened to someone that said so much you were somewhat overwhelmed and you needed them to summarize or give you the gist of the message in fewer words? As we continue to answer the question, is Jesus worth it? The writer of Hebrews uses what we know as chapter 8 to give us again the substance or essence of his message. Jesus is a better representative for us, does it in a better place on the basis of a better relationship. If you have not turned to Hebrews chapter 8, please do so. And in that passage, he gives us the gist of the message. Hebrews chapter 8, I begin reading in verse 1. Now the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. When he said, A new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. The gist of the message is this. Jesus is worth it because he is a better priest for us. Jesus acts on our behalf before God. He is before God right now, pleading for you. Being your priest, representing you before the Father. He is there right now. He is taking care of us. In verse 1, the writer announces he is giving us the gist of it all. The main point in what has been said is this. And so if you read through the book of Hebrews and, man, you don't understand everything that you're reading, and I get that, I can identify with that. Make sure you understand what he's saying here in verse 8. The main point is this, that we have a better high priest in Jesus. In chapter 7, verse 26, if you've got your Bible open and can look back at it, see what he says, that Jesus is holy, that Jesus is innocent, that Jesus is undefiled, that Jesus is separated from sinners because he did not sin. And now Jesus is exalted above the heavens. Well, unlike the Levitical priests, the Hebrew people knew and knew of, Jesus did not need to make a sacrifice daily, both for his own sin and the sin of the people, because Jesus was sinless. And his sacrifice on the cross he did once for all. If you did not, after last week's message, think about this all week, you need to this week. Think about the fact that once for all, one time, he paid a price for your sin. He paid the price for my sin once for all. And now, in verse 3 is a general description of priests, that they are appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. So Jesus is acting as our priest on our behalf. And he has something to offer, an eternal sinless life as our priest. Another contrast between Jesus and the priest the people knew on the earth is, Jesus wouldn't have been a priest at all. He wasn't out of the family of Levi. He wasn't a Levitical family member. He wasn't a Levitical priest. He was out of the line of Judah, according to Matthew. But he is acting as our priest on our behalf. Jesus is there because he is the Son of God. Jesus is there because he is heir of all things and through whom the world was made. Jesus is a better priest for us. I don't know if the others from our church that have gone to Honduras feel this way about going, but once I see and meet up with anybody from Mercy and Grace, the ministry team that we work with down there, I feel safe. I feel confident everything's going to be all right. I feel confident that they're going to take care of me. Yes, Tegucigalpa has one of the highest crime rates in the world. Yes, I do not have a clue which way to go to get to Victoria from the airport. Yes, the traffic is crazy with people honking and going in all different directions. And yes, my vast vocabulary of 3 or 4 Spanish words is not much. But I trust that they will take care of me. Are you trusting in Jesus to take care of you? Are you trusting that the sacrifice he made once for all is covering your sin? Do not think that what Jesus did plus my efforts, everything's okay. What Jesus did is enough. Have you asked him to be your priest? Do you trust that he can plead for you? That he can argue on your behalf? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows exactly how to represent you before the Father. And remember, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself how desperately that you need Jesus, what he has done for you, and what he is doing for you. Do you get the gist of the message? The gist of the message is Jesus is worth it because he does his work in a better place. Jesus acts on our behalf in the very presence of God the Father. In verse 5, the writer quotes again Exodus 25, where God told Moses to make the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern shown him. Moses had gone up into the mountains to speak with God, to meet with God, and to receive instructions from him about how to lead the people to worship God. Where the people, Hebrew people, had worshiped and met with God while wandering about had been a replica of the pattern God showed him. Where Jesus is now is what they patterned after. Even in reference to the temple as their place of worship, it too was but a copy, a shadow of the heavenly, where Jesus is now. Now, Jesus is in the very presence of God. He doesn't have to call him. He doesn't have to write him a letter. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne. I think that's both a place of honor, but also a place of influence. Jesus is there. He is seated there on our behalf. Jesus does his work in a better place. Through the years as I was growing up, I watched my dad work on so many vehicles. I wish I knew how many trucks and cars that man bought, fixed up, and sold. And for the first 8 or 10 years of my life, how he managed to squeeze those cars and trucks into our garage and overhaul their engines and then paint them, I don't know. A few years later, when I was probably, I guess, in junior high, he gained access to a shop out on the west side of town. And let me tell you, it was great. It was great. He could have 3 or 4 vehicles in there at a time. More than one old school bus got fixed up and repainted for the church. It was great because he had a good place to work. And Jesus is in a better place now. Are you trusting in the work that Jesus is doing for you? Are you trusting that he is in heaven, in God the Father's presence, on your behalf? How many billions of people are there in this world? Do you ever have trouble remembering names? He knows every name. He knows everyone. He knows everything about you. And he is there on your behalf. I'm reading a book called Dangerous Calling, Confronting the Unique Challenges of Pastoral Ministry. It is very convicting. Chapter 11 begins with this. I wasn't consciously proud. Maybe most proud people aren't conscious of how proud they really are. The author talked about the carnival mirrors of ministry of life. Have you ever seen those when you walk in front of a mirror and you may be 6 foot tall and you look to be about this tall? Or you may be 6 foot tall and you've got this huge body? Because the mirror distorts. And so that's what he's talking about. He said, because we are all tempted to be self-sufficient and to think that we are independently righteous, we are all attracted to over-inflated, aggrandized views of ourselves. Did I mention that that book is very convicting? Again, preach the gospel to yourself every day. But then also take time to consider all God has done, all God is doing, and all God will do in you for his glory and for your good. Do you get the gist of this message? The gist of the message is Jesus is worth it because he does his work for us on the basis of a better relationship. Jesus acts on our behalf in the very presence of God the Father because he is our Savior. Is Jesus your Savior? Had an interesting conversation with one of the hikers this morning. I will definitely continue to pray for that young man. When you sat down, I used this example with him, at least a similar one. When you came in and sat down on that pew, did you ask to see the engineering description of the strength of that pew? Did you want somebody else to sit down on it first before you sat down? Or did you just sit down? That's the whole notion. That's the whole idea of what faith in Christ is to say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything, but Lord, I trust you and I'm going to follow you. And that's what he's calling us to do. He is calling us to trust Him. To trust Him. To be our Savior. Have you entered into this relationship with Him through confession and repentance? And if you have, you are in a covenant with Him. In the Old Testament, entering a covenant came to mean two things. It was first an exchange of identity, but then it was also an exchange of protection. Promises were made. The people would exchange robes. That was the idea of exchanging identity. Then they would also exchange weapons, and that was the exchange of protection. Now, though, Jesus has come to be the mediator of a better covenant, enacted on better promises. And these promises or aspects of the covenant still hold, but there's more. The aspects of the covenant, identity and protection. But now the writer of Hebrews uses Jeremiah 31 to talk about more of it, where God promises a new covenant, a better relationship. And there are three features or three aspects to this new covenant. And the first is inwardness. I will put my law into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. While the old covenant had been external, written on stones of tablet, it was now internal. It was written in our hearts, and so there's this idea of inwardness. The second aspect is immediacy. Those coming into this new covenant would not need someone to teach them because God's Holy Spirit would teach them. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've tried to read the Bible, I just don't understand it? Because they're lost, they do not have the Holy Spirit teaching them. I would encourage you, I don't care if you only have a second grade education. I doubt there's anybody in here that only has a second grade education. That if you'll read Scripture as a follower of Christ, you will understand Scripture because the Holy Spirit will explain it to you. And so there was this immediacy that God was there. They wouldn't be dependent upon traditional religious testimony for guidance. Those who come into this new covenant would have a knowledge of God not dependent on others. They would know God, every one of us. Each person in covenant with Christ would know Him for themselves. The third aspect, it is on the initiative of God. God promised He would be merciful to our iniquities, merciful to our sin. He would remember our sin no more. That is a glorious thing. He wouldn't remember the times that I stole from the convenience store down up on the main road. He wouldn't remember the times that I lied. He wouldn't remember that anymore. And you say, that's all you did? Well, that's bad enough. I didn't want to tell you the really bad stuff I did. He would remember it no more. In that passage, did you notice how many times the Lord said, I will? I will, I will, I will, I will. Because covenant originates with Him alone. And He's the one who brings about its fulfillment. And this new covenant would be kept. And it makes for a better relationship. Let me tell you about one of my neighbors. There's one neighbor. There's another. Which one am I talking about? I mow this person's yard. I haul the household trash. I try to repair anything that breaks. I try to do whatever needs doing around the house. And while I have tried to help other neighbors with such things, I do so for this one, not because this person is my neighbor. I do it because of the relationship we have. Very polite person, she'll thank me. And I think I have said this to her at least once, but I think it to myself most every time. Thank you for doing X. And I think to myself, well, you'll have to let me marry your daughter. Oh, you already have. A better relationship. Do you have that kind of better relationship through Jesus Christ our Lord with God the Father? You see, in one sense, every one of us has a relationship with God the Father in that we are His creatures created in His image, and He ultimately does control our lives. But if you do not have this covenant relationship that the writer of Hebrews speaks of with Him through the Lord Jesus, then you don't really know Him as your Father. You know Him as your ruler. And He desires this relationship with you, this covenant relationship with you. This relationship is not earnable. We can't do enough good things for it. It's not about performance. It is about you submitting your heart and your will to Him. Do you have a sense in your life that Jesus is your identity? That's one of the things that I will talk to the hikers about. How do you define yourself? Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a husband. I'm not a father. First, I'm a Christ follower. And that one thing colors all the other relationships in my life. This morning, do you trust that He is protecting you? Do you trust that He is providing for you? Do you get the gist of the message? Do you get the gist of this message that Jesus is worth it? Jesus is a better representative for us. Are you trusting in that? I don't know what's going on in your life. Sometimes there's more things going on in our lives, and it may be within family, but there are more things going on in our life than we even want to admit to ourselves, much less to anybody else. But Jesus is a better representative for you this morning, right now. And He's doing that representing for you in a better place. He doesn't have to call. He doesn't have to write. He is there seated at the right hand, and He is for you. He is for you. And He's doing that through this better relationship. Do you have that covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you died to self? Have you died to sin to enter into that relationship? Do you believe this morning that Jesus is worth it? He is.